Dear VBS students and kids, and brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's our theme for this morning from our epistle text. And in a way, it's kind of been our theme all week long. Over this week at Vacation Bible School, the kids, students, leaders, and I have been hearing about our mighty fortress that we have in God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him we have a refuge, a safe place to go in every time of trouble. He is also our strength, so that we need not fear any evil, but can trust in Him to deliver us. Each of you entered through our fortress this morning, over the drawbridge into the sanctuary that we have here in the church. This is one of the symbols that we have as God as our mighty fortress. Another one of the symbols is one that has been in this building and in this church building and next door. And some of the Vacation Bible School students may have seen it and known what it was. And some of you may not have known what it was or not even seen it. The symbol that I'm referring to is Luther's rose, which is on the shield here. Believe it or not, the Luther's Rose, our epistle text from Romans, and the theme of Mighty Fortress all kind of tie together, and that's what we'll be looking at in our sermon this morning. Now, if you've heard Luther's description of his rose, that's great. If not, don't worry, we'll be hearing about it as we continue through our sermon and looking at Romans. Paul wrote in his letter to Romans, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who were called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" We've been hearing all week long in Vacation Bible School how God has justified us through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, how He's rescued us from sin through His Son. We've been hearing all the way from Monday, beginning with the walls of Jericho crashing down, to Jesus entering Jerusalem, which also had a wall built around it, to Jesus even going to the cross to pay for our sins. In each of these, we've been hearing and seeing that God has a plan to deliver humanity, a plan to deliver all of us from our sin. His plan was to send His Son to die for us and to save us from those sins. Yes, dear friends in Christ, we are sinners. And the blackness of sin, the sin found in this world and even in our very bodies, we have not kept God first. I haven't done it, and you haven't done it. Have you come to God's house of worship regularly, eager to hear His word and joyfully attending and joyfully giving of your wealth? If you've not been doing so, or if you've not been doing so eagerly, eagerly and joyfully, you have not been keeping His commandment the way in which He desires it to be kept. VBS children, have you been paying attention to your parents? Have you been honoring them? If they ask you to do something that is within God's commandments, have you done it eagerly and joyfully? You don't have to answer that out loud, but that's okay. I'm used to not having a response. Parents, have you been eager and longing to keep your children in God's word? Not only bringing them to the church on Sunday, but also discussing God's word each day, praying to God with them each night or during meals or things like that. Have you been regular and faithful to doing that? And again, you don't have to answer out loud. If you've not been doing these things, then you have not been keeping God's law. You've not been doing the things that God would desire for you to do. And that's only two of the Ten Commandments. It's easy to see then why Luther would begin in the center of his rose with a black cross. A black cross. He said about this very rose that first there is a black cross and a heart that remains its natural color. This is to remind me and all of us that it is faith in the crucified one that saves us. Anyone who believes from the heart will be justified. It is a black cross which mortifies and causes pain, but it leaves the heart its natural color. So the cross of the sinner is black, reminding us that we are sinners. We live in a sinful world, but we ourselves are sin. We are in the blackness of sin. And it also reminds us of the cross, because it is there that Jesus paid for your sins, making him the crucified one that Luther mentioned just a moment ago. When you hear and believe that Jesus has done this for you, it mortifies you to think that you have sinned. It mortifies you. How could I have done that against my God and my Lord and my Savior, the one who shed his own blood for me? How could I have done that? And not only that, it mortifies you to think that you are a sinner. You are a saint and a sinner at the same time. Paul discusses in the book of Romans how he desires to do what is good, but he finds that he is not able to accomplish it. And as you go about your day, you probably find the same thing. You have the desire and the eagerness to do what is good and right, but you find that you are unable to do it. That is why it had to be Jesus to take your sin to the cross, making him the crucified one. You could not have saved yourselves. You deserved eternal hell and punishment and separation from God. But Jesus suffered separation for you in your place. He did that so that you wouldn't have to. Since Jesus has died for us on the cross, our text asks, who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. Again, God is for us. He is for you. He has called you by the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the hearing of it. And because you now believe in Jesus as your Savior, God is for you. And so it asks again, who then can be against us? God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is interceding for us. Jesus' death gives us the comfort that God no longer requires a payment for our sins. There is no greater comfort than this, especially knowing that there is one out there who desires to accuse us. Unfortunately, many people today, and even Christians today, do not believe that Satan exists. But Satan is just as real as every other historical account in the book of the Bible. The creation account is history. The fall of the walls of Jericho is history. And Satan's existence is true to history. He does exist. And true to his name, he wants to accuse. Satan in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the original language, Satan means accuser. And that's what he desires to do. He does two things, and he does them very well. He tempts you, and then if you should do the thing that he tempts you to do, he accuses you. He says, look what you did. Or if it's something that you should have done and you didn't do, he says, look, you didn't do that. How could God possibly love you, he would ask. How can God love you? You did that, or you didn't do that. Yeah, sure, Jesus paid for everybody else's sins, but that one is so bad, God couldn't possibly love you. That's what Satan wants to say, and that's how Satan accuses us. Other people's sins are not as bad as yours. That's what the lie that Satan wants us to believe. But dear friends in Christ, dear VBS kids, don't listen to Satan's lies and his traps. Satan knows better. He knows that he has already been defeated. Satan has been defeated at the cross of Calvary, and his accusations no longer have their sting. Now, he is correct. Yes, sin does deserve punishment. It does. God doesn't just look the other way. He doesn't pat you on the head and say, go ahead and do whatever you want. there is punishment for sin. But that's why he sent his son Jesus to the cross. Jesus paid that punishment so that you wouldn't have to. And because you believe in Jesus as your Savior, you no longer owe that punishment. So yes, Satan will accuse and will say, you did that or you did not do that. But dear friends in Christ and dear VBS kids, when Satan accuses you of that, you can agree, yeah, you're right, I didn't do that. But go take it up with the one who paid for it on the cross of Calvary. Satan has no reply to that. An accusation only has sting if the punishment has not been paid for. But it has. Jesus has already paid the price. So there's no longer anything that Satan can say. He can say, yeah, it's a sin, it's a problem, all those kind of things, and that there should be punishment, but the punishment's already been paid. His argument is no longer valid. It does no good anymore. And there's no greater joy than knowing that that payment has been made in Christ. You are forgiven in Christ. That's why Luther put more than just a black cross in a heart. Here's how he continued his description of his rose. The heart should stand in the middle of a white rose. This is to show that faith gives joy, comfort, and peace. It puts the believer into a white, joyous rose. Faith does not give peace and joy like the world gives. And that is why the rose must be white and not red. This rose should stand in a sky blue field, symbolizing that a joyful spirit and faith is a beginning of heavenly future joy, which begins now, but is grasped in hope, not yet fully revealed. Yes, dear friends in Christ, our hope has not yet been fully revealed. Again, if hope could be seen, then it's not hope. You already have what you're looking for. But hope is not seen. That's what we heard last week in our epistle text. Nevertheless, we have the assurance in Christ Jesus' death and resurrection that because He died and lives, we will also. Because He died and was raised again, you will be too. We may still live in a sinful world, we may still have sinful bodies, but these, to Paul, are not worth considering if you look at the end of our text. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you believers from the love that you have from God in Christ Jesus. Neither the world, nor Satan, nor anything else can separate you from God's love for you. So again, what can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus? What can separate you from it? No one and no thing. This brings us to the outside of Luther's rose. On the outside, we have this golden ring. And around it, and as Luther says, around the field of blue is a golden ring to symbolize that blessedness in heaven lasts forever and has no end. Heavenly blessedness is exquisite, beyond all joy, and better than any possessions, just as gold is the most valuable and precious metal. This morning we've heard how nothing can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus, His death and resurrection. We've heard how Luther's rose symbolizes this very fact. And all week long and even today, we hear again how God, through Jesus, is our mighty fortress, a refuge, a place of comfort and security and safety for all of us because we are found in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.